Is it on?
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we're just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be.
Ain't
doing alone.
Ain't doing alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world to Bring Back the Family. I'm your host, Kathy Clyburn, for Bring Back the Family. I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. First, we want to start out with the scripture and prayer. And our scripture is love in action. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Love in action. Which says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Wait 1 second.
Why are we unaware of the pipeline to prison?
Okay. Okay. Okay, I'm going to start over. Okay. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will reap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Hey. Hello, everyone. Says a lot. It says a lot. And it should give us a lot to think about, because something was going on even back then. You wake up everybody. It's an old song, but it's still relevant today. And it's a call for us as people to wake up to what's happening around us. It's a call for the people to wake up, get engaged, make a difference. It's a call, a wake up to the challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change and awareness, hope and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? It says, no more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better, because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. And who is willing to sacrifice and take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Okay? Who's going to be in charge of the next generation, passing the torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepared them to do it? Okay? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance to the community in which we live. Picture this, parents, young people, not having to worry about your adult children going out into the community after you raised them, terrorizing and making a bad name for the family. Okay? Picture that. So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this world. A good foundation. Our youth just need a good foundation. Okay? Someone did it for us, and we have to do it for them. They need our help. We need to show them how to do it. Okay? It's a consensus that our youth need a secular education and a Christian education in order for them to make it in this world. They need both, okay, because they need to know how to go out and be productive citizens, get a job, get a profession, so that they can be able to take care of themselves. And then they need the Christian education so they can lead and guide them in all of their decision-making and stay on the right track, okay? So how do we propose to do this? Block by block. Do something on your block. Do something on your block that you can share, care, love, be a positive role model, a good example for our youth can see and learn and live by. Okay? Block by block. Kids on your block. You got kids on your block? Reach out to them. Okay, reach out to them. Communicate with them. See what they're doing. See what's on their minds. You know, back in the day when we was growing up, our neighbors and parents and neighbors, it was just a good, loving community. They talked to us. They watched. Always looking out their windows if they saw us doing something. you know, and they would correct us. Okay. Tell us what you did or what you're doing on your block. Do you have any testimonies? We've been on this show for over a year now, and we've been advocating to get out in the community. Just go outside your front door and do an assessment of your block, and see what it is that you could do to help our youth make it in this world. Okay? You have any testimonies? We could do some simple things just to be able to help our youth. Okay? We could give them a book, a simple book. We can encourage them. Encourage them with a positive, you know, word, a positive affirmation. You know, we could take our youth to church. Take them to church. You could pray for them. Power in prayer. We could correct their behavior. We would correct it by everybody. We can't be afraid. We got to correct them when we see something wrong. We got to correct them because they want to be corrected. They do. They want to know that we care about them. Okay? They want to know that. And if you correct them, they'll be like, you know, they care about me. You won't be able to get rid of them if you show a little care. Okay? Like I said, do an assessment. Find out what they need or what's on their mind. Find out if they could read, if they could do math, you know. How do we help them? Do we help them now? Or we help them later. If we help them now, we can combat this pipeline that to prison that they have set up for our kids. Okay? Better to do the work now. Invest now because they are our investors. They're the next generation that's going to be running this world. Okay? And we could do some simple things like go to the Dollar Tree where it's truly a dollar. It's $1.25 now. And get some workbooks, some writing material, writing books that show them how to write, math books that show them how to subtract, add, multiply. Because you could just simply ask them, what's 3 times 3? What's 2 times 3? And if they're in the sixth grade and they don't know, then you know they have a problem with that particular thing. So reach out. Take time to go spend $1.25 times 10 maybe and get some material and bring it back to them. Show them how to do it. And then they'll know that you care about them. That's some help that you can give. And God will bless it. Okay. A reading club. Start a reading club. Maybe go buy a book or some books and have them all read a chapter a week and then sit down with them and talk to them about it. And get out our creative juices and learn how we can give them what they need to make it. Like I said, someone gave us and did it for us, or else we wouldn't be where we are today. Okay? Yes. Are we doing everything that we know to do? Are we trying? Are we trying? Are we doing what we think, you know, that we should do to help this, you know, move this train along? We know what we need, and we know what our children need because we had what we needed. So take what we had, what was given to us, and share it and give it to them. Okay? I mean, are we simply, like, discussing education in our home? Are we asking them, what do you want to be? Are we giving them some ideals and letting them know that all these careers, you know, we need electricians, we need plumbers, we need doctors, we need lawyers, we need nurses, and that they can be those things. They can be those professionals. What kind of standards are we setting? Or are we setting standards? Do we have any plans for them? Are we preparing for them? Is it a plan in place? What kind of plan do we have in place for them? What kind of preparation? Okay, if we don't know, then we should be finding out what we need to do. Okay? Again, are we doing everything we know to do? And are we trying? Okay? What are we telling our youth? What are we telling our youth about keeping their records clean, keeping their license clean, keeping their name good? What are we telling them about these systems? If we don't tell them anything, they won't know. Are we supporters of the pipeline system? Or are we unaware of the part we play? Are we supporting it and don't realize it? Are we playing a part in this to send our kids away like this? What are we doing to help and combat this? And how can we help avoid our youth participating in these systems? Okay? Who's responsible for our children? Who's responsible for their behavior? Because, like I read last time, it said the school-to-prison pipeline refers to the increasing connection between school failure, federal, state, or local school disciplinary policies, and student involvement in the justice system. Hundreds of school districts across the country employ discipline policies that push students out of the classroom and into the criminal justice system at an alarming rate. So, discipline. And it's talking about our kids and children and youth behavior. There's so many rules. It's even rules for us. When we go out in the world driving, and it's rules for us, and it's so many laws, we're bound to break some, okay? So how are we, you know, working on our youth behavior? That seems to be a big deal right now as far as their behavior, because they've taken the discipline out of the home. And they have given the youth a big advantage over the adults. And it's causing a major problem that's like totally, totally out of control. Out of control. So I think if we just start block by block, helping the youth, giving them, being interested in them, you know, interested in their learning, you know, taking them to church, making them write papers. They could write papers with something, you know, studying in the Bible. They could do that. They could write a paper with something in the, about something in the Bible. They could learn about the Bible, because those are the guys that, as they say, the Bible is the basic instructions before leaving earth. Find something in there they could write about, starting from Genesis all the way to Revelation. If they didn't have the secular education and the Christian education, then they could be well-rounded in all that they do. Yeah. And then that let you know that we're doing something to help. Imagine block by block, if we just do something on our block, on our block. Okay? Like that kid I'm working with, the number is growing. Yesterday we went to the Science Center again, and they had a great time. We had pizza afterwards. Okay? Went to the Dollar Tree at the church. I tell them, okay, be on my porch at 8:30. They are there. It was raining today, and they were still there, ready to go on time. I wasn't ready, but they were. And so after church, I give them all of their Dollar Tree workbooks, give them a project to do, and tell them to come back at 6 o'clock after this show, because if I don't, they'll be camped on the porch and, you know, they'll be making a whole lot of noise. But, yeah, they have been doing the extra, just the extra little things that they can do to help them, you know, with their education. They got their church out the way. They like it. They go to song. They got a young teacher that teaches them about the Bible, and they're really enjoying it. So they get up ready on Sunday morning, ready. And I'm proud of them. Yeah. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the things that we need to do and encourage each other to help in some kind of way. We had a very good discussion last week, and we just covered a lot of things, and it all boiled down to our young folks' behavior and the parents being involved. And we're all in this thing together. So the parents, the teachers, and the community all should be working together to get these kids what it is they need to make it, because we're all going to be affected by it if we don't. We're being affected now. We're seeing the results of it all. Okay? So it's never too late to start. Don your creative thinking cap. See what it is that you could do to help the youth. It could be such simple things, you know. Spending less than $20, just giving them something, letting them know you care about them, asking them some questions about what they plan to do with their life or what do they want to be when they grow up, simple things like that. So let's open up the phone lines and let's discuss and talk about how we can help, how we can be a help to our youth, to keep them on the right track. Okay. Let's see, Miss Jackie, are you with us? There you go. Hello. Hey, Miss Jackie, how are you today?
I'm good. Wonderful.
Great. Yeah, we have a lot to to keep discussing. And until we get everybody out on their block doing something for our youth, and so that they won't be interested in even thinking about the pipeline, the prison or having a number, you know. We have to give them something else to talk about. Uh-huh.
The more I look at this and the more research I do on this,
mm-hmm.
First thing our people need to do, if they're going to mm-hmm. help our children, they have to get out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm saying this is because in my research, I realized that school to prison pipeline started mm-hmm. with Ronald and Nancy Reagan. Back in the 70s. They are the ones that came up with the legislation that wrote policies for this pipeline from school to prison and the privatization of prisons were developed and they were making $1.2 billion a year. Now, when we want to help our children, we need to strengthen our voting rights. And when we do that, we can help put people in place that is not trying to destroy our children, because in my study, 1 in 3 blacks have a criminal record of some sort. Or minorities. I said minorities. They are people of color. But 1 in 17 is white, Caucasian. So when we look at a pipeline from the school to the prison, small infractions are put on our children's records in the school system. And you have to make sure, because when you protest for this to be out of their school records, you have to go back and recheck and recheck, because there's somebody in that school system that is continually to put it back on there, and it shows back up. And they are using this to use this against our children, whether we are aware of it or not. What can we do? You need to vote and know what you're voting for and who you're voting for, because you're voting for lawmakers that are making decisions for your children's future. Number two, you need to always request to see your child's records. You want to see your child's records maybe twice out of that school year. One, you want to receive before they go in the second semester, and you want to see it before school ends, because you need to get certain things out of your kids' records. Now, that's helping your children, because as you look here, I was studying this morning, and this was something I was studying from that my pastor, Alex Hill, that gave us the assignment to do. And I was looking at something Marcus Garvey said. A people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. But when we go to Matthew 7:24-28, built his home upon a rock. So if your home is built upon a rock, when trouble comes, the roots, and your home is rooted there, when trouble comes, it won't be destroyed. So now my interpretation of that falls into block by block. Starting to build a root in your home, where your children are rooted with their spiritual history as well as academic studies. So they are rooted in, by the time they get out into the world or get into college, if they have their Christian foundation, they won't be so easily swayed in the wrong direction, because you have built a root there like a tree. So when we look at it block by block, and you look at what that's happening out here, you have certain organizations like ACLU who is fighting against trying to change these laws. And that's the American Civil Liberties Union that's trying to, NAACP is trying to fight these, but they don't have the strength when we don't get out and vote for the right people, like-minded. So all that falls in place. All that's a part of your root. And when I say this because as I look here in which kids are at risk of being expelled from school, and these infractions are being minor infractions that are adding up to major infractions, and how all of this came about is because we allowed certain people that had a different viewpoint than ours to be in office. And saying that this state itself is a proven record, the powerful vote in the Detroit metro area. So when we start block by block, we need to start the parents, adults, families getting together, doing what you did the last time, because these were laws put in place. Privatization, they have a contract. Look it up. If they don't meet the contract of having so many prisoners, then the government has to pay them. And the government doesn't want to have to pay them because they're paying them a contract to house prisoners. It's a business. It was saying here that in one of these statements that you're like cattle. You're they're counting heads, because what you're looking at is what that these kids are becoming. They are becoming, not becoming. They are these young people that's going into the prison system. They are now properties where it's justice by design. It's designed the privatization, which they're making money off of our young people. Then they're paying them 25 cents. And out of that 25 cents per hour, they work in 39 hours. And they work in some making $2. They have to give 50 cents an hour. If they're making $2, they got to give 50 cents an hour, then they got to give half back to the prison. So now they become a nanny. Then you turn around, they're doing services in the prison for private companies. They're saving them money. So they abolished slavery and replaced it with the prisons. I was looking at an article today in this documentary. We have more people in prison today than we had during slavery. People were they were slaves across this nation. So they substitute one for another. Our problem sometimes is the music our children are listening to, because it's making them angry. It's feeding their minds with the wrong things, wrong ideas. We can't stop them from all their music, because then you have a rebellious set of children. But the point is, when we look at what's going on around us, we have to start investing in our children. And we have to start investing in our children in ways that don't cost us anything. Like you said, going to the 99-cent store. In the summer, they have studies that say that when your child is out of school in June, they school ends in June. If they don't do anything every day as far as learning, by the time they are taking state equivalent exams, they have receded back, because the brain is not continually working. So when you speak about Kathy, you go to the 99-cent store and you get these little books and you have them to study, you are strengthening the brain waves. because children lose interest in school because they feel that other kids have passed them up and they're not learning. They feel that they don't have a meaning in school because they're not important. That's where it comes at, yeah, block by block. Where the families have to get up and we have to say, hey, I want you, what do you think about the weather today? Well, let's write an essay on what was your experience with the weather today. Something as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about your community? How do you feel about the blight in your community? Are you impressed with your neighborhood? Why or why not? Write me a little essay on that. Because that teaches them how to maintain. One of the things that I used to do, and all of this, COVID put a damper on a lot of things, but I used to use and say, disciplinary, no problem, you did it. How do you feel about it? Write an essay on it. And it didn't have to be a whole page essay, but the older they get, the more they have to write, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But even a small child could tell you something about, and if they can't spell the words, then you help them spell the words. So as we look into this, it becomes more disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's not our children's fault. It's their surroundings and how we allow the surroundings to take control over them. Because there has been some great people that came out of surroundings, but their parents were in their children's life and demanded certain things and accepted nothing less for it. And also learn that chores around the house is called teamwork. We are a family of a team. Let's do this together. Teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on the phone with you, Kathy, and you know, and they eat their little ice cream toys on the ground, and you say, hey, come on, team, let's get this teamwork done, let's clean this mess up, and they be around there to see who can pick up the most paper.
Yeah, they get to the point where they want you to pay them for everything now.
But
even if they put the paper down there. Right.
And that's true. But then we have to go with the point system. Who gets the most points? And when they get the most points, when you do those treats, this is why you can pick the treat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to come up with another way of, and I know it's and sometimes we have to do that, and I have to do it with my nephew when he asks for certain things. Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That's your work. You have to go on that and do so many chapters. You can have it, but it's going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is free. You got to give me something for it.
Right. The important thing is that we have to do it. Mm-hmm. We have to just do it.
But you know what? It shows like the one that you have and your passion is what's going to open the eyes of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are actually doing it. You know, I'd be on the telephone with you. And boy, I tell you, if you don't hurry back home, you sit on your porch.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's rewarding, you know, too. You know, it makes you feel wonderful. Mm-hmm.
But you correct them, Kathy, but you correct them in a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
Because children are going to be children. And I was telling somebody the other day, they was talking about how their little one, they buy something and they eat it all up at one time. I think that's what children do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I was giving them examples, you know, because sometimes we get so, sometimes we have so much on the plate that we forget when we were kids, because those were the days we didn't have worries.
Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't have worries.
They shouldn't have worries.
Mm-hmm.
But they also should have responsibility. Like I told my nephew, helping with around the house is teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, the same way that you make it around here to take my trash out, you didn't put one piece of trash in the can.
Mm-hmm.
But you will make it around here to take that can out. So if somebody's working to make sure that you have the best, and they might have left a plate in the sink, wash that plate for them. It's called teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so sometimes we have to use our knowledge to help them understand, because so many people are so stressed out on these jobs, trying to make ends meet, working two jobs, and they don't have time for the children. But that's where the village comes in. That's where the family should come in. And if you have a niece or nephew that and your parents are working hard, you can Zoom with them and go over something, have call a reading club, and you all pick a book or you read some of the pages, and that's the time you spend. So it's
Yeah, I know we talked last week about, you know, what we're seeing, what kids are seeing, and they're watching us. They're watching everything that we're doing. And a caller was talking about the new generation of grandparents. They're much younger now. And so they're showing the kids, you know, their way of living. And so what we're seeing now with our kids acting out in the way that they're acting out, that's where it's coming from. Because, you know, we do what we saw our parents do. And so that's what these kids are now. They're seeing, you know, what their parents are doing in front of them, that younger generation, because they're having children too early and becoming grandparents early. But those are the new generation grandparents. And so we talked about that last week. And we have another caller, 4953. Welcome to Bring Back the Family.
Well, you guys still at it again this week too, huh?
Yes, sir. Thank you for tuning in.
You know, you mentioned about what you've been talking about today is basically school choice and how you choose to educate your children.
Mm-hmm.
But you also mentioned, the lady mentioned about voting, and also mentioned about the ACLU. The ACLU is against that. They're against God being taught even in private schools. So who you think that's doing the best for you is usually, in many cases, doing harm to you. The private prison systems donate to your congressional black caucus, and they take the money.
Mm-hmm.
Your professional athletes have money managers who contribute to I'm sorry, who buy stock of the private prison systems like CoreCivic and GEO. So you have to really know who you think you're is doing you well is actually doing you bad.
Mm-hmm.
Your strength in politics lies local and state. Your kids have to be taught the foundation of this country, the laws, the Constitution, Articles of Confederation, because then they learn where the power really lies. The power does not lie with the federal government. Joe Biden, Trump, the power lies with the states. The states give the federal government its power, but they're not doing that today. Some are, but they're not. Case in point, the open border where they allow illegals to come into the country. And then you got these judges say that these illegal kids can go to your school and haven't paid a dime toward your schools. Mm-hmm. So if you was having problems with resources before they came and you've been paying toward the schools, imagine what kind of problems you're having now. You're putting these extra children in your schools who haven't paid a dime toward your school system. That's the difference in the politics. That is what you need to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have something like school choice. You as a parent should have a right to put your child wherever you want to put them. And the money should follow the child. If the money is allocated for a child to be educated, then you should be able to dictate where your child is being educated. All places are not the same. If that was the case, then why come the results aren't being the same?
Mm.
You got a high number of children in the pipeline that are black than what are white. Well, let's study that. When you have society where you have 70% of your household is not functional, where it teaches right and wrong, good and bad, and also have a large concentration for your child's education, then you're going to have children running astray. When you have households where those are in place, those kids usually follow the straight and narrow. It all gets back to the basics that have been around since the advent of humankind. Mother, father, home, grandfather, grandmother, and all mm-hmm. the supporting aspects of that that's called family. You put that back in place, a lot of these problems will go away.
Very important. Very important. That's what bringing back the family is about. Thank you. Hang on there. Love your conversation. No, he's going to stay on. We got another caller, 2968. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Jack. Let's check it.
I want, now, what you're saying is true. And what I was saying as far as people need to get out and vote, I didn't go as in-depth as you did regarding the state and federal, the local politics, the state politics versus the federal. But I'm glad you were able to bring that out to the listeners. But now, in school of choice, I support putting my child in the school that I select or choose. But that is a small group that is putting their children in certain schools. What about the masses in the neighborhood? Yes, some of them are in dysfunctional homes. But what can we do? Because if the small number is thriving, because in a lot of cases we don't have it the way it used to be, mama, daddy, grandmother, grandfather. We don't have that. We just lost over a million people from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, we don't have, people don't want to work. No, you lost over a million people that was qualified to do those jobs. So we lost over a million people. So now homes are not like they were 3 years ago. But we still have to pull together and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the child? It seems that, is that child that, going astray because somebody didn't care? Or is that child, so what do we walk in and say, hey, let's sit down and let's talk. What are your plans for your children?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that Ms. Cleburne is doing in the community. One of the things is she's just not talking. I don't know how she do it and work her jobs like she do and still maintain the health. All of these children, I really, it's not enough hours in a day, but she doesn't get any rest. But the point is that we have households that need somebody to maybe offer a helping hand. You know, we have a system over here. We have over here at the community center. They are doing ABCD. Can your child go to it?
Mm-hmm.
She has her people waiting on her doorstep. Early in the morning, on Sunday morning, to go to church. Because she set a standard. This is, you know, these are the things we are doing. Are you on board?
Mm-hmm.
They need her getting there.
Yeah. Right.
So
we have to help where we can.
What you're saying, mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying, and it's all true. But we are in a situation now that if we don't pick up the torch, we're going to have lost generation.
Well, Ms. Jackie, we got another caller. Let's see what they have to contribute. Hold on, 4953. Okay, 2968.
Hello.
Don't bring back the family. Welcome. Hello. How are you?
I'm definitely doing better than most, worse than a few. How about you?
Well, wonderful, wonderful.
Absolutely.
You've been listening.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've been listening, and I've been my head's been bobbing and stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true though. You know, if we're gonna take responsibility, then somebody has to transfer that responsibility to us so we can take it. You understand? And a lot of people, doesn't matter who people, but a lot of people are not taking responsibility for their actions. So they're not enjoying the benefits of something they're not doing. So a lot of times people have learned so many conflicting lessons because of the fact that when mom and dad made a baby and the baby came in the world, mom and dad had an opportunity to put everything they want that baby to know into that baby. Because when that baby gets a little mind of its own, you know, around 7, 8 years old, then mom and dad have another opportunity to teach that baby the difference between what's right and wrong, so that baby has something to stand on when it becomes an adult and responsible for its own actions. Now, here we go back to what we were talking about, transferring responsibility to these young ones. A lot of folks have been making mistakes over the years, which have been detrimental to their children, which parents I see a lot of folk going, oh, when the baby doing something, you know, a big baby, you know what I mean? Your kid's a big kid, but they be doing something mm-hmm. that they be saying, oh, that's your baby when it does that, you know? And I say, no, it's both y'all babies, and you both y'all need to take responsibility. And if you have a moment of realization that you made a mistake, there's your opportunity, you know? I suggest you take advantage of them opportunities to do the right thing, you know? And if you're ever going to do the right thing, you're going to have to examine your feelings when they become powerful. And believe me, they will. But you got to examine them underneath their feelings. And that's where you are. What you think, what you say, and what you do, that's you. Understand? Mm-hmm. So when you're doing what you do, because that's what matters most to you, you can see the past. Because remember the past? You were talking about the past. Well, the past becomes mm-hmm. your future, because love shows you how to do these things. Now, I don't know if you ever heard mm-hmm. of wisdom, but God will give you wisdom from his word, and she is God's helpmeet in the beginning of his ways before he even created a particle of dust. Wisdom was God with God. He possessed her, and so we get her from his word, and she shows us how to get things done where people in their own natural strength and ability are struggling to do things. But we, on the other hand, have wisdom, and she shows us how to do the thing quickly. So things get done.
All right. Yeah, you have to be willing. You really have to. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, but you guys are part of the community, you know. You guys are in a community. Mm-hmm. And when you reach out mm-hmm. to the community and become a leader, people are going to follow the leader, because the leader mm-hmm. has other people's best interest in their thought process. So it's about the welfare, you know, and that's what we're all about, is helping people to examine their feelings in light of truth, like we learned how to do. And once they learn how to right. do it too, they can teach it to somebody else because of the actions that they're doing. They're not just talking, they're doing it mm-hmm. because somebody lit a fire under their, you know what?
Right. Somebody gave them what they need to make it, gave them a good foundation, and so they know what to expect, and they know how it should be.
Yeah.
And
so we just take care of that, man.
It should
put a
fire under you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I look at it like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I look at it like this.
Mm-hmm.
There's people, adult people, you know, and they messed up like big time, man. Every time they open their mouth, they tell on themselves, but they don't know they're telling on themselves because they're caught up in the illusion of the false sense of who they think they are. And I'm looking past their ego, looking at who they are, saying, I just want an opportunity to make a deposit of love in this person's love bank, you know what I mean? So when I'm talking, I know what I'm saying. And if they were to see what I'm saying from that standpoint there, they could turn around and take a look and see where I'm coming from. And, you know, when you're like a mirror and people can look at themselves and see themselves in your heart, that's love making a deposit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that love is going to have a return. Now, sometimes I don't get the benefits of the return because it was meant for someone else to enjoy. And I say, that's just wonderful, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the way God does things. Sometimes, you know, other mm-hmm. people get to enjoy the work that you were doing, God, and that's your business.
That's good stuff. That's true.
Yo.
All right, thank you. Very good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You guys are awesome, man. I just love you guys,
thanks,
man.
Well, great. We'll continue to tune in and send the word out that Bring Back the Family is here, and we're trying to do something for our youth, because they need to have what they need to make it, just like we have what we need. And thank you. So
that's right.
Stay tuned in.
Mm-hmm. Got to break up those conflicting lessons.
Yes. Okay, 589.
Hello?
That's it. Hello.
How are you today?
Well, just wonderful. How are you?
Wow, I'm good. I'm just so excited. This is another lively discussion. I know you recognize my voice. This is June. Yeah. I've been on before. Yeah. I'm going to try to turn off some of these background sounds so you guys can actually hear me. I have been excited about a lot of things that have been said by the previous callers, but the one word that just kind of jumped out at me was vote. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I teach college, and I just brought this up to my class. They were mm-hmm. pretty upset about some issues and how things were going. And I asked them the question. I said, okay, well, who is the boss of the politicians? And so they kind of looked around, and then finally one of them said, we are. And that's exactly right. We, the people, can hire mm-hmm. and fire politicians. But if we don't vote, we can't do that. So I certainly believe in voting. But here's the thing, because some of the other issues that were brought up, like thinking back on the crime bill, I know that President Reagan's name came up, and I know that they're, you know, as one who's pretty involved with criminal justice, I'm familiar with the crime bill. And right now, today, 2022, we look back with the tough on crime policies, and we see that one of the things that came out of that was the fact that African Americans were being disproportionately sentenced for crack form of cocaine as opposed to powder form. Now, thankfully, we did something about that. But the thing is, it's easy here in 2022 to look at a policy and take it apart and see how it was messed up. But back when the policy was first being created, it seemed like it was the cure-all. It seemed like it was the placebo. So the exciting thing about that is that any time that there is a new crime control strategy, any new initiative involving health, the key is if the federal government funds it, what the federal government now requires is that there is an evaluation component, not the agency who gets the money saying, oh, okay, I got the money and I got some stats over here and I can prove to you, because I can take and twist stats and make you think I did a wonderful job. All of us can pat ourselves on the back, but when it comes to actually doing research and taking a look and looking at the outcomes, you need to have an independent body do that. And we have that. So what I would just suggest is, and the other caller brought up, you know, various, you know, politicians and you know, they may or may not be the answer. I say you got to look at everything. Last thing I'll say on that, President Trump, just before he left office, maybe a year before, after the George Floyd killing, there was all of this conversation, and the country became pretty polarized. Well, his answer, and we're having to live with a lot of this now, was, oh, diversity training is making white people feel like that, you know, they're the enemy. We're not each other's enemy. God has made that clear to us. But if we want to look at the other side and demonize them, then we're going to continue to have the problems that we're having. So what my recommendation is that, yes, vote, but be an informed voter. The choice program, I've read and seen a lot on that on both sides. Some who say it's a good idea says, yeah, I want to be able to take my tax money and put kids in the school where I want them to be. But then when I hear the other side of it, the concern is for those kids, the kids we're talking about, who don't really have anybody, whose parents' heads may not be on straight. And so the money leaves out of the community to the detriment of those kids who don't really have a voice. And so, again, I just say do your research, read about the politicians, read about their policies, drill down and try to understand everything that looks good ain't God. You know, a lot mm-hmm. you brought up before about the, you know, prisons. There's a monetary incentive. But, of course, almost everything's going to have a monetary incentive to it. So if you were to just say, well, I only want there to be a prison out there if all of the people who are working inside are volunteers, then there would not be any place to send some of the people that we clearly know need to not be on the streets because they're hurting people. So that's my two cents. Just we need to start to do our research. We need to have our eyes wide open. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. And that's the standard, really, that we should look at. We don't necessarily have to pull out a whole lot of scriptures, because anything that makes sense anyway is godly. There is going to be some of the best workshops that I went to that were so-called worldly. When you peel away the layers, it's founded on godly principles. Treat people how you want to be treated. Take a minute and try to figure out what's going on with the other guy so that you can respond accordingly. So that's it. That's all I got.
Good stuff. Thank you, Sister June. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
You know, she makes a lot of sense, but I want to add to this. Mm-hmm. People should identify an issue that they have in their community. A community can be as large as the entire state. Then they need to seek out and choose someone that they can run at an elected position to go to the state house or even the federal house and hope that they and address that issue. If they don't do like you tell them to, you bring them to the carpet, you scold them, and if they don't continue to do the right thing like you sent them there for, you get rid of them. One of the problems with voters today, they vote and sit down and watch and see what happens. And more often than not, what happens is not appealing to them, and it's not appealing to them because you never told the person what your interest was. It's all about personal interest, not French, not permanent friends, permanent interest, not permanent friends. If you let them run wild, then they're going to be influenced by those that's slinging money around. One of the best jobs in your low-lying area is politics. But it's only benefiting us, not the many. Same thing with school choice. You cannot sacrifice the few because the many is not doing what they should be doing with their child. When you sort out tomatoes, you go in and take the rotten ones out so they don't contaminate the good ones. That's a common practice. So no, those parents that put in the due diligence and do the things that should be done, then they should have a right to have dictation over their child. Now, that's not saying that you throw the rest away, but you cannot leave those that come from the strong background amongst those who don't come from the strong background, because now what you're doing is impeding their progress. You let them go, then you attend to the other problems. Anyway, that's my position.
Well, I know what, you know, it's such a big, big problem. And like you said, get an issue and identify an issue. And I think that because it's such a big problem, if we just start in our own little community, in our own block, if everybody could just take one and reach back and get one, look how many that would be, you know. And so that is the issue, education and family. Education
well,
and family, that is the issue. Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. You know, you talk about the crime bills. One of the things during Clinton administration, because people was complaining about the crime that goes along in their schools. Bill Clinton talked about, not the schools, but their community. Bill Clinton talked about that. So that's why he implemented the three strikes and you're out rule that came out of that party. But here's the point. You're making a good point when you say your block. Therefore, you work with the kids on that block and make sure things are in place, whereas they don't have a overbearing effect of in and up in that pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that should be handled. If you ever on a commercial airline flight and the stewardess is giving you instructions on how to use the oxygen mask when they come down during the time that the cabin is decompressed, they always tell you to make sure you got yours on right before you assist the person next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because in your attempt to try to assist them, you are further exposing yourself to the danger. Get yours right, where people can use yours as an example in order to get theirs right. Then it goes on and on and on.
Right.
You know, I like your point that you just. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, at this point, we need to do this. We need to do this ourselves.
No, I'm sorry.
You know, we need to dig in and get in the trenches and do this ourselves, you know, in our own community. Just, you know, and it'll grow. As long as we're helping somebody. And like you said, it'll catch on. People will see what they're supposed to be doing.
What I was going to add to it was just, was just that whole point that, like, you brought up an issue, you know, what's going on in your neck of the woods and, you know, and then trying to kind of follow that through. And I would just say it's been decades since I have voted in June's best interest. And, you know, it's back to those Christian principles. The Lord tells us to basically be more concerned about your brother than yourself. But we're selfish. And so if I were to vote just based on my interest, there are very few things here that we're talking about right now that I would be voting for. But most of the time when you're talking to people, they're not willing to say to themselves, this may not be what's best for me personally. This might affect, you know, the amount of taxes I'm going to pay. And we don't look for the greater good. And I really do believe, like I said, we got to embrace Christian principles if we're going to make any change. Otherwise, we're just slapping a Band-Aid on it. These are foundational issues that need to be addressed.
Right. And we need to, like I said, we have to do this ourselves. We have to go in our own pockets and start to share and give and be concerned about what's going on, what music they're listening to. We should start playing some love music so they get all that violent music out of their head, you know. And so, like I said, if we do it ourselves, get in our community and do what we could do for ours, go in our pockets and get some things that they need, that we know they need, some socialization, books. You need some time with them. You need to just care about them, find out what's going on with them, and give them that time, that quality time that we were given. Because we've been waiting on people to come and help us. Nobody is coming. So if we can help them and teach them to help. That's what I did with my nieces and nephews, or my family did. Once we helped ours, we told them to make sure they reach back and help somebody else. So that's how it gets going. And so if we could get that back started, you know, at least it's something. It's something that we could keep from that system. Right here, right in front of our face. Nobody's coming to help us at all.
That's the way to do it, because you are the example. And if people notice that you're having success and not dealing with all the problems that seem to be tying them down, then they're going to look more closely at what you're doing and try to implement those for themselves and their family too. It's a simple solution. People have to have the will and the power to see that that is the direction that they need to go. On the national level, you see so much going on wrong, and the law is not being followed. You got open borders where the law says it's not supposed to be that way. You got the FBI raiding people who pass out information against abortion, and they go raid the people's homes and lock the male, the father, who participated in it up. That is wrong. They're running wild, and they're not supposed to do it. See, there's so much things that you don't know that needs to be taught. Like I said earlier, you make sure you teach your young people the founding documents of this country, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights protects you from the state. The Constitution protects you from the federal government. Learn those on both sides that spoke for it and spoke against it. That way you can get an understanding what was in their mind back during the time that it was being discussed. Then you also study the Bible, because the Bible has 10 commandments. So if a person would want to debate and also, and I can't think of the word that I need to have, that toward the Constitution, well, would you do that toward the Bible too? Would you try to interpret the 10 commandments? You want to interpret the Constitution. God's word is clear as a bell. So is the Constitution. So why are you interpreting one, which is law, and you also even try to interpret the other, which is law too? People have to start thinking and stop going for the okey-doke, which usually leads you into a state of being bamboozled. And we know a lot of bamboozlement goes on because we continue to discuss these problems over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. And that's why those, you know, like you say, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, we can teach them that, but we just need some down-home love and affection and some care and concern for what's in front of us and what we see. Because, like I said, it gets too big, you know, and if we could just play a part right in our own little community, we could save some, you know. Cause
well, you
it,
feel
it
like I told you last week.
We depending on the states and the governments to come in and help and save us and trying to know what they know and all that. And like you said, getting somebody to represent us. And we, we get people to represent us, but sometimes they don't represent us. But like you said, with the, if we narrow it down to our issue and what it is that the issues that we're having and that we want to identify and get somebody that's on the same accord.
And you know, you said that
be working for us while we're working for ourselves. We got to work for ourselves.
I think it was you who mentioned that the kids come for us, gather on your porch waiting for you to come out. That's a good one. See, if you want your kids to learn love, you got to show them what love is. I made mention, too, that a married couple, when that man, that husband leaves, he should hug his wife and vice versa. Because you never want to be in the condition where, as you wish, I wish I could hug them just one more time. The same thing with those kids. When those kids leave, you hug them all. And then they are witnessing love. A child is born with no knowledge of the world, but they learn the knowledge of the world, the habits of the world, by viewing it and watching it being played out. Demonstrate to them in practice what you want them to practice themselves. And it works.
That's right.
It works for my siblings. I can talk about. I can talk about others. Unless I know them, but it works.
Well, you know what? I want to, if I may, to something I believe was you had said, and that I want to reemphasize on that. She made the statement that, and it's not verbatim, that if she had to vote on something concerning herself, she had to look at what's affecting others, our neighbors. And I was thinking about that, and I said, you know, even though we all vote, and I remember something that was on a ballot, and I said, why should I vote for that and pay more taxes? And then when she made that statement, it made me come back and check myself. Being human, the bill would affect other people. And so now as I look at those proposals, I always think about her statement and look at it and see how it's benefiting others. And I thank you for that statement.
Good deal.
Well, those are discussions. Yeah, those are discussions you should be having with your groups too, your family. We should gather our kids and put them in the living room, sit them on the couch, and give them a heart-to-heart talk so they understand. See, one day we ain't going to be here.
Right.
And if your child was not brought up the way they should be, then they're going to have to deal with these things. See, the whole thing about standing on the shoulders of your ancestors means this, that your child has been educated in as much positive things as you know as possible. Because if they're not, when you're gone, they got a tremendous catch-up process. They're supposed to start off where you left off and go forward. But if you never teach them up to the point where you are leaving off, then they got to go back someplace in the middle or even close to the end of your learning process, whereas they shouldn't, because now it's their learning process. They should be starting off where you left off. That's the way you see positive progress. And many times our kids aren't seeing that. They're starting off in the world on their own.
You got to teach. And what's that statement where they say you can give a man a fish or you can teach him a fish and then they're going to always have fish? All of this stuff on television, you know, having people tell you how to vote or tell you how to think, we have to teach them how to think. I remember a couple of elections back, one of my nephews brought up this stuff about Hillary Clinton and these emails, and that was just giving me a headache because, again, I have an investigative background. I knew it was a red herring. It was really driving me crazy, but I knew I wasn't going to make a whole lot of sense if I just emotionally reacted to them. So I started to, you know, ask some questions and have a conversation in such a way that he could figure it out. And that's the thing that we need to, you know, get to when we're teaching them. We want to train their mind so that they can, with the old people used to say, you can't think your way out of a paper bag. Well, we need to make sure that they can think their way out of a paper bag and beyond. That's what we need to be focusing in on doing.
Yes. All right. Good. Very good discussion. Very good. And I'm just a simple person, and I just like simple things, and I think that keeping it simple and just giving from your heart, you know, God will bless it. He will bless it. And hopefully, and I mean prayerfully, and I know that, you know, I'm trying to give these kids, they're going to get something out of it. It's going to help them. And I just want to see them through. God give me, you know, time that I need here to see them through. That will be great. And I just hope that it'll catch on. And we have to tell other people to listen, so that we can all be motivated to do something for, you know, the next generation.
I heard somebody mentioning about COVID. If your children are educated well in biology, they know that the scam that existed in that. There's no immune support like that of the human body. If the human body did not build up an immune system, and the ability to attack and fight off that which is trying to harm it in the past, in the far virgin stages of human life, we wouldn't be living today. The best vaccination is the human immune system, and you have to do the things necessary that keeps it operating at peak performance. Something as simple as getting a rest, and of course, diets that go along with it. To have pre-morbidities complicates things. It's because your immune system is working to attend to them while other things are going lacking, thus being susceptible of the enemy that's trying to harm it. Somebody out here in the background has got a lot of kids going on. So if you're trying to cook dinner and attend to those kids, something's going to get neglected. And in this case, the food's going to get burnt. I mean, that's just the way it works. So instruct your children in all the issues so that they can better understand, then they won't be subjected and vulnerable to misleading information that's usually, like somebody else said, is monetary, trying to get them to spend in a certain habit that's benefiting a few.
Yeah, we have to bring back the ways that, you know, we were raised, you know, basically, like I said, we have these new generation grandmothers. And they're showing our kids something totally different. And I know that my mom had 11 kids, and she did everything with the support of her husband. She washed. She was up and down the stairs all day and was able to teach us to be good people, treat people well, go to school, cook dinner, all of those things. And it worked. And so all of that teamwork that her and my dad did to, we saw that, all the love that they showed, all the love that they gave us, and that, and the emphasis that they had on family. And they showed that, and they was affectionate in front of us. They did all those things. And so now we, in turn, we know how to do those things, and we were able to give it to our children. And hopefully they'll give it to theirs. It's, so far, the wheel is still rolling, and they'll reach it back. And so that's where my fight is. And as I'm going to stay in this until the day I go home, and I'm good. And so I just think that whatever you do, God is going to bless it, no matter how much you have to do, no matter if you got 2-3 jobs, if you got a house full of kids, if you got a husband, you got all these things going on, God is going to bless you to be able to do all those things, as I saw my mom do it. Mm-hmm. It can be done. We just have to want to do it. Okay? Good. Okay. Any more comments? I'm loving this. I love working with the kids. And you know, it's fun to see them come over and hang out on the porch. I feel like they're safe. You're giving them something to do, and it keeps them out of trouble. Because if we don't find something for them to do, then they're going to find their own fun. You know, and some of it might be dangerous. You know, we have to show them and teach them. So,
can you share with them, Kathy, what you shared with me? You know, earlier someone had mentioned that we get back what we, you know, put into them and show them. And I think the example of what they did on your birthday is a perfect example. So can you share that?
Oh, boy. They, all week they were saying, we're going to have a party for you. We're going to have a party for your birthday like that, because they knew when my birthday was. And they just kept asking, when's your birthday? Your birthday next week? Your birthday, you know, we're going to have a party for you. We're going to have a cake. I said, okay, you know. Well, no, they said it was a surprise. But one of them wanted to tell it. I said, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, you know, like that. But she said, but I want to tell you. I said, but I don't want to hear it. And so she told me. And so we were going golf that day. It was on a Thursday, the 22nd of September. We were going golfing. And so they get out of school, you know, at the same time, like 3:30. So we have to be at golf by 5. So they were trying to have a party before we went to golfing. So they brought a cake over, a big old gallon of ice cream, and we took the cake with us to the golf outing and was able to celebrate my birthday with all the other golf members, and that was fun. So they were just glad. They were happy to do it.
That was awesome.
And they told me happy birthday, and they were just so happy to do it, you know. And then we had this big old tub of ice cream. Mm-hmm. Had this big old tub of ice cream. So we couldn't take that with us. So the next day I went and got some. I told them, I said, we're going to have ice cream cones tomorrow. So I'm going to stop by the store, got some ice cream cones, and they was ready when I got home to have those ice cream cones. And everybody had ice cream cones the next day. So, yeah, they were happy and excited and couldn't wait for my birthday to come. And that is, thanks, June, that is a part of training and giving back and just teaching them how to love.
Because you modeled that. And then today, yeah. I complimented some of them when they were leaving church. And, I mean, you should have saw they just stood up straight. And that's something we have to remember to do, to encourage them and to thank them and to, you know, reinforce good behavior. We focus a lot on when they make mistakes and stop doing that and you're going to get in trouble. You're going to go to jail when you get older. But one of the best things we can do is to encourage them and give them positive reinforcement. If we want to see them do something, then that's what we need to do. We need to really pat them on the back when they do a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. You know, people will never remember what you did or say, but they will remember how you made them feel. With that, I'm going to get off here. You guys have a fun rest of the week.
Okay, thank you so much. Keep tuning in and spread the word of Bring Back the Family. You make our show great. Thank you for your participation. No, we're not done yet. They're ready to go. I got a few little ones running around here. They're ready to go to Target or somewhere and get a toy. So, come on, Pastor O. Let's bring you on in and get this party started. Where you at? Anybody else need to comment? You can press 1. We're gonna bring luxurious Pastor O in and welcome him. He's so awesome. He's gonna wrap this thing up and tell us what we did wrong.
Ooh,
straighten
yeah.
us out a little
yeah.
bit.
Oh yeah, you did quite a bit, quite a bit.
Yeah,
real good discussion. You know,
yes,
and the first thing that came out when it was talking about, of course, the conversation is always about the children, right?
Oh, Pastor O, I'm sorry. Pastor O, give me 1 second. Let me let this caller say something.
Okay, go right ahead.
1 second. Thank you. 9448, you're on Bring Back the Family. Sorry, I missed your hand. Oh, that's you.
That's Jim. Okay. Oh, yeah, no. That is me. Ooh-wee.
Carry on. Awesome.
9448. I'm
okay.
Like, I think,
yeah,
is that
right,
you?
Right.
The Lord, you? Like, that's you, stupid. That's your line. You don't know what's on you.
It is. Okay, we're ready for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the conversation went to the right place because if we're talking about education and we're talking about our youth, we have to talk about the people who run it and fund it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so when Jackie brought up about voting, that is super important. Like, you might hear some of the commercials against Tudor Dixon, is she was put out there by the DeVos family. Well, the DeVos family runs charter schools or in favor of charter schools, and they want funding for that. And so if they got Tudor as governor, then they can be funded. And as the caller was saying, you have to watch these groups that say they're for you. You have to really check them out to see if they're for you, especially the ACLU or whatever that is. 1 minute they're good, especially if they're fighting your cause. But then they can jump all the way on the other side of the fence and fight a cause that you might not be with. So, again, trying to put your trust in political systems and political people, they come and go, okay? But it is so important that you vote. And that is why we have the vote. People who complain the most don't vote and have no understanding why things are so crapped out. They're like that because we don't vote. We don't understand how important that is. If you can tie that to the money in people's pockets, oh, they'll vote, because everything they decide to do or not do is going to affect your pocket, especially Washington. But I really wouldn't worry too much about Washington. They can't even walk straight or talk straight. But one of the callers said, your state, pay attention to the city where you live. Pay attention to the county where you live. Pay attention to the state where you live. And to a lesser extent, you're going to care about other counties and other cities because you're caring about the state itself. Washington, if you really pay attention to them, they really don't do anything but fuss back and forth and act crazy. That's pretty much all they do. And when they do something, it was like what June was saying. It seems in the beginning, oh, so wonderful. Then 5 minutes down the road, we was like, how could we have missed that disaster right there? You know? And then you start hearing things like fix it, don't mend it, or things like that. So we can, you know, depend on politics only to a certain extent. But for the sake of your school, go to school board meetings, see who your school board superintendent is and your representative are, and what is their agenda, and see if it fits what you want for your kids. Like when June said, a lot of the things that people talk about might not be some of the things that I would even be concerned about. So if I vote my issues, what if I don't have any? So I might as well not even vote. What if I'm just satisfied with the status quo or whatever? I might as well not even vote. But when you look at it from a, it's not just me, it's me and my neighbor, you know, so it's more than just me. And those things, no, I don't want to vote to pay another dime for water, but this dime for water is going to fund these people over here who are struggling. So we need to become more informed about being a voter and what it means when you can vote and the obligation you have to vote. You know, like I say, most of the people who complain the most and talk the loudest about Washington city, state, county are people who don't even vote. They just, you know, like what I heard C.L. Clark, Dr. C.L. Clark preach a sermon one time. And he talked about the Lucy crowd. And all the Lucy crowd did was ridicule. You know how Lucy, she was a psychiatrist for Charlie Brown, right? But she never really had a solution. She just threw a whole bunch of things out there and see, if you got this, this is what it's called. If you got that, this is what it's called. Okay? But all she does is ridicule. And that's what the Lucy crowd does. They don't really do anything. They just ridicule. So we have to lead that crowd and become an active participator in our public elections. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans. I was a Democrat for a while, but they were a little bit liberal into things God ain't nowhere near. And then I tried being a Republican, but they was just straight crazy and mean. And then I tried being an independent, but it was like two of us over in the corner saying, hey, we here. So I'm like, Jesus, where do I go now? He said, why don't you just trust me and vote your Christian values? So I became a member of the Jesus Christ Dependent Party. Like I say, I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this morning, and he's talking about, you know, Christians and how we respond to politics and all that stuff. And he got to the end of his sermon, and everybody wanted to know, what are you, a Democrat, a Republican, an independent? He coined himself a kingdom independent. And see, that frees you up from following a political ideology. And a lot of Christians have become immersed in politics, and they're trying to drag Jesus in there. But Jesus ain't left his throne in heaven to get involved in none of that crap. He has his own kingdom, okay, and he's already ruling. He doesn't want to rule this earth. He will come during the millennial reign, but right now this is not his thing. He's not trying to fix our crappy government, and his government's all across this nation. But we live in this one. We have an obligation to vote for the betterment of life for all people. Sometimes you might vote on stuff that don't have nothing to do with you, but it's for the betterment of all people, okay? So we have to be serious about that vote. And if you want your city to change, pay attention to who you're elected. If you want your schools in your city to change, pay attention to who that superintendent is and those people you're putting on that school board. Pay attention and go to the meetings, especially if you have children, especially if you're paying taxes, okay? Find out what's going on if you don't go. And it's easy to read. Most cities do have a website, and they have posted on there what's going on, okay? Talked about, I think it was Jack, he said, keep thinking. When you remember the I think it was a 10-year-old who came on and told us, or a 13-year-old, that summer vacation ain't summer vacation, just a vacation. Summer vacation needs to have some studycation in it, because you don't want to be off all summer, right, and then go back to school and you're emptied out of everything you learned last year. It's just gone. And now you really need to start all over in a review class. But if you keep it, if you keep a continuity from the time you get out for summer vacation until you get back in school, and see, this falls on the parent. My mother and father, we used to have to do stuff. We didn't just get to play all day. There were things we had to do, okay? And then you get to play. And that's the way it was. That's just the way it was. But I think parents today, you know, it's a different day, and it's a different parent. It's a different mindset. And like you were saying, different values are being taught to these children, okay? But we keep thinking that these parents are like the parents we had. Or these parents today, they're not. They're different. And we need to accept that and need to work with them right where they are and still bring them out. God has been going from generation since Adam. And they've all been different. They've all been a little bit more modern than the one before them. Okay? So that means there was a little bit more to draw their attention away from God than it was for the other people. And here today, there is a plethora of things that can draw us away from God, okay? And so the parent today needs to learn how to deal today. And we need to approach them in a way that offers them a way to deal with it today. And especially in our kids, parents need to understand that these kids don't need to just go outside and play. They still need to be engaged, even though they're on summer vacation. Then we talked about getting wisdom, okay, and that was good. I think it was a caller who talked about getting wisdom, and funny or not, as he was talking about that, I was simply amazed because while I was listening to the show, I picked out what our responsive reading, scripture reading is going to be for Blog Talk Radio Show on Saturday, and guess where I went to? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And guess what it talks about? Wisdom. The wisdom of God. The Bible, even in the Old Testament, says, if my people called by my name. And when we start living out those Christian principles, that I heard June talking about. When we get reinvested in those Christian principles and bring them into our personal life, our family life, our church life, and our civic life, then we'll be a whole lot better off. When we stop trying to be smart on our own, I love the way the caller described wisdom as she, because that's the way we just went through Proverbs, right? And we know that Solomon, she this, she that, and described wisdom as somebody you want to be next to, somebody you want to be with, somebody you want to be intimate with. That is how much and how passionate we should be about getting wisdom. And wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of God or the reverence for God. That is the beginning of wisdom. That is when God starts teaching you the truth about life and how to, I love how he said it, get things done. God, that's all God is concerned about, is how to get things done. And that's why he gives us his wisdom. And then they were talking about get the beam out of, I think it was a caller again. He didn't say this, but this is what he was talking about. Get the beam out of your eye. Get yourself right first, right? Remember that part of the conversation? Get yourself right. Okay, Jesus said it like this. Take the beam out of your eye before you try dealing with the speck in somebody else's eye. In other words, get yourself together first before you try to get somebody else together. If you have a multitude of nonsense going on in your life and this person over here got two problems, and here you come with your multitude of nonsense, somehow you look past all that and saw they two problems. No, get the multitude together, and then you will have what you need to help them. Jesus literally said it like this, then you'll be able to see your way to helping them. That was an awesome description he gave. You know, imagine a person with a pole in their eye, but somehow they look right past the pole and see a speck in somebody else's eye, and they want to help them without even realizing this big plank in the eye. So get that together first before you start looking somewhere else. You know, and you kept saying, keep it simple. And every time you said that, I cracked up. Because two times in history that happened. First, in the Catholic Church and Catholicism, women lost all their power because when Rome took over, Rome does not permit women to be in any position of authority. Okay, so they just lost their power. But later on, as Catholicism grew and orders started to form, like the Dominicans first, then it was the Franciscans, then later on it was the Jesuits. Well, between the Franciscans and the Jesuits, women in the Catholic Church, you know what they started doing? They just started going into people's homes and helping out. They just started allowing people to come into their homes and find rest and relaxation and some food and clothes. They didn't even seek to become an order like Dominic of Guzman, like St. Francis of Assisi, or like Ignatius Loyola. They didn't even want to become an order. They just wanted to help. And that's how they did. And that's how they got their names, Nun, because they didn't have none. Nothing. They were just some women in a community who were helping people in need. And so they were once again reinvested in the work. But the church had become so complicated that they said, well, you know, y'all go ahead on and do that thing that way and be chasing people around, inquisitioning them and all that. Here's what we're going to do. These people over here need help. We ain't going to tell them we Catholic. We ain't going to tell them we some order. We just going to help them. We going to keep it simple. And when you kept saying that, that's what the Lord loves. Keep it simple. Again, in 1901, the Christian conversation had become so complicated because the men had, you know, become theologians, and they were tossing it back and forth about what God, who God is, and what God means. And some lady in a crowd at a service just stood up and spoke in, as they say, an unknown tongue or spoke in tongues. that reinvested the pew back in the service. They had made Christianity so complicated that nobody really wanted to have, and around the 1900s, they didn't want to have a whole lot to do with it because it was just too hard to get. If you go to the Catholics, they won't even give you a Bible. And if you go over here to the Protestants, you got to figure out which one of them you want to join. And they had made it so complicated, and so these folks just brought it right back to simplicity. Let's just do this without all that. Mm-hmm. You can do all that, and I ain't got a problem with all that. But I'm just going to do it like this. And that's what we need to do. Because when we start, we need to know what's going on everywhere, right, as much as we can, right? But then when you start adding this and adding that and all these layers, one of the things I learned when I was being taught how to run a ministry and staff it, they talked about committees. And one of the things that the teacher was real hard against was don't put a lot of people on the committee, because if you do, it'll be that much harder to come to a consensus. And if you'll notice, the main boards in our church don't have that many people on them. And there's a reason for that. They need to be able to come to a consensus. Okay, they need to be able to come. And when you look at Washington, okay, you see what happens up there? You got 50 senators that's Republican, 50 that's Democrat. And then the House, you got a 226, two-something split of Democrats and Republicans. They can't agree on anything, okay? So you don't want to overcomplicate the thing. You want to keep it simple. So, you need to look at the big picture and all of that stuff, but don't make it so hard that you become overwhelmed and at the size of it, and you don't even feel the passion no more, because it's no longer something that's fun or fulfilling. It's something that's a headache. It's something that's, it's turned into something totally different. So, in that sense, keep it simple, and you can get it done, because once you start all that adding this and adding that and adding this and layer on top of layer, then you have a problem. Then you can't get anywhere. One hand don't know what the other hand is doing. So today's show was awesome, and you have some awesome guests come on, and they speak the truth, and nobody gets attacked because of their political leanings, okay? But everybody has just because you are conservative, like me, I'm a conservative. I'm a fiscal and social conservative Christian. That's me. With compassion or common sense. Okay? Even though I'm this kind of Christian. Conservative, I don't support abortion. Compassionate, that ain't my baby. And I'm not that man or that woman. And I can't make the choice for them. I can make the choice for me. But I can't make the choice for them. They deserve the right to choose. God gave it to them. Who in the world am I to take it from them? I might not like their choices. I don't like my kids' choices sometimes. They grown, okay? but who am I to go over there and say, okay, that's it. I had enough of your choices. You just don't know how to do the whole choice thing, so you out. Your choices are gone. That's it. We're not good with being told we can't choose because, Adam and Eve was told, don't eat from that tree. And they hung around that tree till they ate from it. Cain was told, don't kill Abel. He went straight on away from God and killed Abel. God said, will you worship me and follow me? Eight people, Noah, his wife, his three kids, and their wives said, yeah. The whole rest of the world said no. But God never once, after all them horrible choices, took choice from us. And here we are, an imperfect human society, and we are down here taking choice from people. But my position is, as far as politics is concerned, is Jesus Christ dependent party. I depend on him to tell me who to vote for. I vote for the person who comes the closest to my Christian values, and they could be unsaved. If you look at the intertestamental period, Babylonians wasn't saved. God used them. The Medo-Persians wasn't saved. God used them to bless his people. So God can use wicked people to bless his people. Look at Egypt. When they finally got their head right and let the Israelites go, the Bible says the Israelites spoiled the Egyptians. They went and asked for this, that, and the other, and took this, that, and the other, and they said, take it, but promise me you're leaving. And so God can, amen. I'll get to preaching again this Sunday. My wife just said, So I enjoyed the show, Kat, and enjoyed all the guests.
Oh, yeah.
I always learn something. The Bible is right when it says, be quick to listen and slow to speak, even though I talk a lot. Amen.
It's always relevant, always relevant. And the Bible connects with everything we discussed today, and you know, that's just powerful right there, and that's why it's important for our kids and us to have a good Christian education as well. Yeah, so Chell, thank you. Awesome. Oh, you're always awesome. And we missed you when you weren't here the last week was your birthday, and you was celebrating and getting some rest at the same time. So happy birthday to you and from everybody around the world.
Yeah, we had a good time, yeah. A real good time. My wife went and took me out, got me a pile of fish.
Yummy.
When you see her, Kat, ask her about that.
Okay. I asked her where the party was.
It's funny to me, but when you ask her about the fish and how it was.
Okay. It's a big pile. She must have been fishing.
It's funny to me, but you got to, you know, you okay. Just grab her and say, tell me about that fish.
Tell me about that fish. I can tell everybody around the world. Well, that made you happy because you're laughing about it. So that's good.
Yeah, it made me happy, but you got to talk to her. You see her, ask her about that.
That's hilarious. You're silly. All right. Well, thank you, Pastor O. Thank you
for
everybody that
thank
participated
you.
Today. Yes, sir. It's just a great show, and it's getting better and better. And it's, you know, God just wants this thing to take off like crazy. And just tell somebody about bringing back the family. You know, if we want to see change, and if we can help one, we have helped. The numbers add up. They keep adding. If you help one, everybody help one, just think how much that would be, how much that would add up to. So, and just, you know, I know this could be done, and I like that, just keeping it simple and doing what we could do for ourselves right here and right now and what's in front of us and what we see we could do something about, okay? I just want to announce, let me see, my cousin, Albert Michael Ward, made his transition. He was just a quiet, gentle giant that made a huge contribution in this world. And we're going to talk about him one day on our show. Yes. We will be missed. Quiet, gentle, about 9 feet tall. And you can see him from far away. So we want to talk about him on our show because he made a lot of great contributions that, you know, made history. Okay? All right. So, hey, we had a good time, and we're just going to, you know, next week, look forward to another great show. Thank you, callers that called today. I got to get their names so I can shout them out. June and Jackie and everybody that participated today that makes this show what it is. And I'm happy about it. Okay?
So we are going to close with, you know, who we look to every day to do great things, okay?
Oh, hey.
Yes, sir.
Before you get out, I got that song loaded that you was talking about. All you got to do is refresh and you'll see it.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, we're gonna go out with it. Let me see. Let me see. It's a good song, you guys. I have to find it, though.
It should be
Pastor,
right up at the top.
Okay, you want to talk about anything? I know tomorrow we got your class, and if anybody wants to participate.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, we'll be doing our third installment of our class on the history of the Christian church. And the reason it's titled like that is because it's the history of the Christian church, not any other church. So, yeah, 6 o'clock, tune in. If you like to need the handouts that we're going through now, you can go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on Bible classes and then click on church history handouts. And there you go. If you want to take the first two classes because you missed them, they are under church history recorded. And then you can print out the handouts, listen to the class, answer the questions, you'll be good to go.
All right. Well, thank you. Okay. You guys, you know what we got. We have work to do. Okay? Listen to me.